Verse 1 says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." I was reading this week, and it amazed my thoughts. And when I was reading this about, it says an innumerable multitude of people. It says they trode one upon another. Innumerable of people around the Lord. And the message that Jesus gave here was what was so astonishing, that if you thought all these people were around you and all these people around us, that the message we'd give is to give them something about being saved. But Jesus always knows what needs to be said, and He knows the heart of men, and He knows what they need to hear. A lot of times when preaching's going on or somebody may be teaching the Word, people might think in their own mind, wonder why the preacher preached that, wonder why that man said that. But listen, the preacher don't know what's in your heart, and anybody that teaches don't know what's in their heart, but God does. And God knows exactly what men need, and He knows how to deliver it, knows when to preach it, and God does that on purpose. Because God's got a message, and I'm telling you one thing, the first thing He said in all these people, He looked at His disciples, and He said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees."
Amen.
Which is hypocrisy. That's what He said. I want to preach on that word, beware.
Go ahead.
Beware. The word beware just means to be on guard or restrain yourself from something. Many of us have seen signs that say, "Beware of the dog." That alerts me when I see that. Especially when we used to go out and knock on doors a good bit. We'd go in communities and we'd approach a house and then have a fence. And then say, "Beware of dog." That gets my attention. You know what that says to me? I'm not going in there. Amen. I don't make that move. I've seen a different beware. Beware of danger. Different signs that note that there's something we need to take attention of, that we need to beware of. In fact, the first mention of the word beware is in Deuteronomy 6 and 12, where it said, "Beware lest thou forget the Lord that brought thee out." He told Israel, "Beware lest you forget God." Beware. Don't let your mind and your heart forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And that word beware ought to grip us and grab us to the fact that God's sending a message unto us that there are some things that we need to beware of. And brother, keep that before us because I'm telling you this, and I just give the illustration or what that sign said, "Beware of dog." If you don't believe that sign, you might just get bit.
Yeah.
If my love people say, "I don't know really if they even got a dog." Well, I'll tell you what, if they got the sign up, that's enough to tell you to stay away. Amen.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, when God says here that He's speaking to these, beware. Amen. He said here, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And He said that is hypocrisy. I want to preach a little while on the word beware. I want to say, first of all, in this chapter, there's three bewares that the Gospel of Luke gives in this chapter. And the first one is beware of hypocrisy. Now, hypocrisy is acting under a feigned part, or it is deceit. It's outward appearance, but being an outward appearance and utterly different from what's within us. In other words, it is putting on something that is not real. Amen. A hypocrite or hypocrisy is acting something out or playing the part that's not really you. Amen. People come to church, and a lot of time they just got hypocrisy on them. And can I say this? All of us has come one time or another, and we've had some hypocrisy on us.
Yeah.
Hypocrisy is one of the most dangerous things that a man could ever have. He'll never have no power of God in his life. He'll never have no victory in his life. He'll never be who he is. He's always trying to be somebody else. But I'm telling you what, hypocrisy is a known sin in this air. And when people pretend to be something that they're really not, they're being a hypocrite. Amen. That's right. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you this morning. I'd rather for a man to be honest and real who he is than to put on a show down at the house of God. Amen. I've seen that down through the years. Amen. And listen, friend, hypocrisy. Jesus said, beware that Pharisees, if you know anything about Pharisees, they were very religious people that separated themselves. Hey, God, and had some what they'd call religious rules that they tried to live by. But friend, they did not have no God in them. They had no spirit in them. All they had was an act. All they had was religious outward, my friend, appearance. But they had nothing in them that, my friend, resembled the Lord, resembled Christ, resembled the way of the Bible. All they had was a religious show. And friend, if that's all you got, you're a hypocrite. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. God help us. I don't, Brother Danny, I check myself on that. I check myself on that. I don't want to never have hypocrisy in my life. Hypocrisy is saying one thing and doing another.
Amen.
Amen. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5 when they said, judge not that ye be not judged? He said, why would a man try to get a speck out of a man's eye and he's got a beam in his own? Amen. He said, thou hypocrite, first cleanse that which is in your own life and then you can help somebody else. Why would I try to straighten somebody out that's got a little something in their life and I got a lot in mine? He said that's hypocrisy for a man to try to clean up another man and he's got worse off things. Amen. That's right. That's what he said. Amen. He said, thou hypocrite. I mean, why would you try to take the speck out of that man's life and you got a telephone pole in yours?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you want to catch the judgment of God on you, because He said, judge not lest ye be judged.
Right.
You start judging other people and you got problems in your life.
Right.
That's right. You start judging other people and you got problems in your life. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. The church in general has a problem with judging people and judging what people think, say, wear, or do. And can I tell you this morning? When a church is a self-righteous church, you're going to quench the Holy Ghost. You're going to grieve the Holy Ghost. And what you're going to do is you're going to push God right outside. And I'm going to tell you, friend, this is what's happening in this day and hour. We've judged Christianity on what people look like. Amen. What they don't do or do. Amen. And I'm telling you this morning, if we're going to have God, we're going to have to get the hypocrisy out of our lives. And when we judge ourselves, we're doing right. But when we judge others, I'm telling you, we're bringing judgment on ourselves.
Right.
Now, listen. What you put out is what's coming back to you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. What you put out is coming back to you. Jesus said, beware of these self-righteous Pharisees and their leaven is hypocrisy. Beware of their play acting. Beware of them saying things and appearing to be something before men that the others would look up to them and give them a high regard. Amen. And I'm telling you, friend, you better hear me. You better watch out about getting things in your heart and letting that old self-righteous spirit get in your heart. And before you know it, you're the only one right with God.
Amen.
Right.
I've heard people say, well, I can't find a church nowhere. Well, the problem's you. I can't think, sir. I can't find a church. I tell them, say, I just can't find a church. I said, the problem's you.
Yes, sir.
I'll say this, in these days, it's getting more scarce to find the Word of God preached.
Yes,
but there's still some around.
Yes, sir.
You think God's going to leave it without a witness? You can forget that. He'll have a preacher somewhere preaching the Word of God.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm telling you what, brother, you better hear what I'm about to say. This area and the South, and especially North Carolina and some other places, they are highly blessed compared to going to New York and compared to going to other places. And they're very scarce in them because it's controlled by Catholicism, which is a religious government, my friend, establishment, and have no God in it. And listen, when you get around where God's at, you better thank Him for it, because, friend, there's very fair and few between, my friend, over this world that you can find the gospel anymore.
Amen.
All right.
People say, well, I can't find the church. That's why I've heard them say that. I said, well, you're the problem. We can go. They say, I think I'll start meeting in my house, you and your four. Yeah, that ain't what the Lord wants. Son, they had to meet in the house. The early church met in houses.
They did.
They meet in houses in other countries where they can't assemble together for the fear of the law.
Amen.
And for fear of judgment, fear of being put in prison. But we have an opportunity, thank God, as a people of God, to meet together and worship Christ. And I'm telling you, thank God, friend, I tell you what, to drive hypocrisy out of you, just be honest, amen. Be real. Be real. You can't be nothing you're not.
Right.
Amen. You can act the part, but you really can't be nothing you're not.
Right.
Amen. People respect people for who they are. That's right. I can't be you, Brother Joe. You can't be me. God didn't make it like that. We learn from one another.
Yeah.
We get sprinkles here and there from one another. Amen.
Amen.
But God made you who you are.
Yeah.
You don't have to be me. Amen. You don't have to be a hypocrite. Amen. Hey, God, that's be you. Amen. For God, He said, beware of hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Beware of it. Amen. Then He said this, beware of covetousness.
Yeah.
Verse 15, look with me in that verse. Verse 15, He said unto them, there's two men, brothers, verse 13 and 14, they're dividing their inheritance. And one of them said to the Lord, said, speak to my brother that he might divide the inheritance with me. Look like there's some inheritance left, and two brothers were deciding about the inheritance, and one wouldn't go along with it. He wanted it all. Reckon that fellow went to the Lord and said, you have him to give me some of that inheritance. And this is what the Lord said in verse number 14. And He said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? In other words, Jesus said there, I'm not getting involved in this. Verse 15, notice what He said. It's a beware. He said, and He said unto him, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists of not in the bunch of things which he possesseth.
Amen.
What is covetousness? What is covetousness? Jesus in the 10th commandment, in the 10 commandments, said, covet not thy neighbor.
Right.
His wife, his possessions, his servants, his ox, his ass. He said, don't covet that. That's what Jesus, that's what the commandment said to Moses. But Jesus is going further. I tell you, people say, well, this is what the commandment said. I'm telling you, Jesus always is, ain't got a pin or down. And I'm telling you what, this law is still in process.
Yes, amen.
Amen. He said, covet. You know what the word covet means, Brother Keith? Covet means to desire or have something to satisfy your lust that God says is not lawful. That means if you look at another man's wife and you want her, you're a coveter and you're an adulterer.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
You know what? Here's an amazing thing. In this day and time, people don't want to talk about being covetous. But I'm telling you, friend, Jesus talked about it. And we live in a day and time where, you know, if a man commits a murder, I'm telling you, he's a reprobate. But if a man is a covetous hearted man, then he's just a regular citizen. They all in the same tin, brother.
Yes, sir.
They all in the same tin. So when you start desiring these things and then the Lord said life don't consist in the abundance of things a man possesses. What a man possesses, life don't consist in that.
Right.
It don't. What you have don't make you.
Amen.
It's who you have.
Yes, sir.
You better have Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. And listen, and here, and then it goes to this parable, a parable about this rich fool. And he said, a certain man had his ground brought forth plenty. And remember the man, he said, look at all that I've got here. I was in there about 6 or 7 times. He said, look at all that I have. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to build bigger barns.
Yeah.
And God says, you're a fool tonight. Your soul's required of you.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to what I want to tell you this morning. Listen to me. When you go bury that loved one, the kind of car they drove don't matter. Thank God for good vehicles that the Lord gives us, but I'm trying to drive a point home to you that you that live for things, you that live for possessions, you that materialism has ate you alive and that's what you live for, you're living life short, friend. Jesus said this, listen to me. I know it's not live much, but Jesus said this, if any man come after me, first of all, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Deny. He's got to deny the way he thinks. He's got to come to God, son. Until you're willing to give it all to God, you know what you're going to do. You're going to be controlled by what you see.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Amen.
I've got to have that. I've got to have that. And buddy, they'll go to the extreme to get anything they want in life.
Amen.
Amen. Listen. When you are so covetous over things and you've just got to have it, and I mean you just got to have it to consume it upon your own lust, and you'll do anything to get it. Hey man, I'm telling you what, it becomes a life of flesh. It's not a life of faith, and God's not going to put His blessing on it. Amen.
That's right.
That's right. Well, I got to have it. Got to have what they got. I am one of the most unobservant people in the world, and I hate I'm like that, but I am. I could not tell you, these people's members of this church, I could not tell you everything. I could not tell you what everybody drives. I couldn't. I said that fella drives a van. What kind? I don't know. People come by my house, was outside the other day, and me and Levi was doing something, somebody tooted the horn. Levi said, they just tooted you. Who was it? I said, I don't know who it was. You can pass me in a car, and if you don't have a sign on the front, you better wave. I don't know who you are.
Amen.
I don't. I don't. I'm not into that. But can I tell you something this morning? When you see Mr. Jones get something, and then you've got to have it because they got it, you got a heart problem. Now, I'm going to get deep as I can with this, and you might as well shake your head and say amen, because, buddy, I'm telling you what, the church is ate up in possessions and materialism in this hour, and, buddy, I'm telling you, as what you get goes, as to how you get go, it's not how you seeking God and living by faith, it's what I can have and what I can get, and get all I can. But I'm telling you, friend, if you get your eyes off of who God is and the giver of everything, and every good gift comes from above, I'm telling you, friend, you'll miss what God saved you for. Amen. That's right. Amen. You saying, preacher, should God's people be poor? No. They're poor and Jesus became poor that we might be made rich. But that's talking about spiritually rich. But God blesses us.
Yeah.
Praise God, don't come up with that poor talk.
No, He blesses every day. That's
I'll tell you who's poor, who was poor. Them people was raised back in the 1920s and 1930s. Compared to our standards, it had one bathroom, one bed, and one living room. And that's what they had. And they had one car, yeah, if they had that.
Not many.
Everybody in here has got a good place to sleep.
Yeah.
You got car. You got more than one vehicle. We do. Amen.
Yeah.
I think it's a blessing from God to have good things.
Yes,
I think it's a blessing from God, thank God, to have a vehicle the way I got the house I live in. Amen. But can I tell you this? It's going to be somebody else's one day.
One day. Amen.
You going to live? Here's what people, I'm going to live all my life. Man, I'm going to get all this. And I've got, look at all my God. And God says, all right, it's time to die. Whose will it be then? Amen. Amen. The people that have to work for what they get too, they're more thankful.
That's right.
These people that's sponging off of Obama and they taking care of them. That's why he got all them boats.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Now, you can like it or lump it. It don't matter. And I don't want to say that bad, Brother Wade. We know that's the old independent word. But, buddy, people that live off the government have no faith. Getting quiet.
Come on. Yeah.
They don't have no faith. They got faith in what he's going to give them. Food stamps.
Yeah.
Free phone. Somebody's paying for it.
Yeah.
And they wonder, they say, preacher, I'm just about broke. I say, well, if you give anything... I told a couple that was coming here, I said, if you ever want to get out of debt, if you were, and I know we're going to be in debt, don't get me wrong, we pay in debt too, I pay payments myself. And I said, if you ever want to get out of the hole, then you're going to have to give to get out.
Yes,
yeah.
Amen.
And I'm talking about everybody wants everybody to give to them. And them sorry scoundrels stand out there at Bojangles and the rest of them places and say, I work for food and they're lying. They just want a handout. Now, I will say this. There are people that come to this church that have it hard. There's women that come to this church that have to work to survive for their family. They don't have a man putting money down for them. That's right. They get up in the morning time, they go to work. How many stories or people have you heard said, yeah, my daddy... He wasn't no good and he was sorry and he left us and my mama had to raise us and take care of us. Isn't that right?
Right.
You think I'm wrong for preaching like that?
No, sir.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Every daddy is responsible for his own home.
Right.
Long as he's able physically, he's responsible to go to work. And if he don't work, the Bible says he's work. And I know it says provide for his house, and there's a lot of general broadness there in that. But I'm telling you, if a daddy don't work, praise God and provide for his house, and he's sorry and lazy, he ain't a man anyhow.
Amen.
He ought to put a, praise God, a skirt on.
Yes, sir.
That's what they're doing today.
Yeah.
Brother James Shaver said they had a traffic stop down in Alabama not long ago and the man they arrested had a dress on. It's pitiful.
Yes, it is.
You said, what you think they ought to do? You don't want to hear. He's no good for nobody. I know where he's headed. He's going to hell.
Yeah.
He's got, you know why? Because he's got hell in him. He wouldn't live like that if he wasn't.
Amen.
Amen, buddy. Boy, I'm going to tell you another thing, too. And I want to get off and chase a rabbit right here, but I'm going to get it right now. And I thought this morning, why is there so many people going to hell? I'm going to give you the first number one point. Because of dead churches. Dead churches. That's why they was going to hell. They go sitting in some assembly somewhere and all the guys give them a bunch of lies and send them to hell, and they go into heaven because they think they're good, and they're going to hell, friend.
Yes, sir.
I tell you number two point on that. You know why so many people's going to hell? Because of lost preachers.
That's true.
You think I'm rough? Jesus called them snakes, hypocrites, vipers. And he said, how shall you escape the damnation of hell?
Yeah.
We live in a day, we can't see. God help, if we don't take it by force, who's going to take it?
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people going to hell. And I'm going to tell you this, another reason people's going to hell is because, my friend, thank God, there's prayerless saints. Comfortable saints. I'm amazed, and I don't look at all this stuff that's going on, but I'm amazed that churches now are not, and I know they're putting seats in churches now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
made it like a movie theater. But I'm amazed that they hadn't made them where you can pull your, they ain't got to pull the handle up and kick back like a lazy boy.
Should be an injection.
That's right. Something, I mean, to make people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what's happened to America. We got so soft. One of these politicians, somebody said that, some boy had to go, ain't got to see a psychiatrist because it just scared him what they said. He need to go to Woodshed a long time ago.
Yeah.
Covetous. People just ain't it with covetousness. They'll rob you, take everything they can from you. And buddy, I'm telling you what, them lawyers and doctors and all them people Jesus talked about.
Yes, he did.
I thank God for good doctors.
Amen.
Praise God, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't one.
Yes, sir.
God put one in my path to cut me open and make me make some new veins in me.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, friend, and these insurance agents and all that, listen, friend, all it is a covetous way. It's greed.
Yes.
Covetousness is greed.
Yeah.
Beware of it. Beware of it. Beware of covetousness. Number three, and I'm through. Notice this here. Praise God. Amen. Notice this. Beware of the scribes. Verse 46 of that same chapter. Look with me right quick. We're going to close her out. Wait, I'm sorry. It's in Luke chapter 20, verse 46. Notice what it said. It said, beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes. Love greets in the markets and the high seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, beware of the scribes. And here's where we get to the Baptist church right here with this. There's a spirit in this, Brother Todd. There's a spirit in this, what I'm talking about. Long robes, long prayers, robbing widows.
Mm-hmm.
That's what them televangelists do.
Oh, yes, sir, they do.
They used to get Tammy Faye on there with a half a ton of makeup on and cry, and somebody sent them $1. $1,000.
Yeah.
Hey, help us. We want to help these little children. They ought to kick them out of North Carolina. Shysters. That's what they are, religious shysters. That's right. I'm going to tell y'all, you better hear what I got to say. It would be a rare thing for me to put any money in the mail to a TV preacher. Beware! But here's, can I get down to our level here? Beware of image. I'm the pastor here and I want y'all to know that. It's all image. That's all it is. How do I look? Huh? It's image. wait a minute, there comes some people. It's all image. You got more of an image built in you than what you think.
Oh, yes, sir.
It ain't the God of heaven's image. Jesus Christ has conformed us to His image. But we want an image, you know why? So people can talk good about us.
Yes, sir.
That's why Jesus said, don't let the right hand know what the left hand does. Boy, you know, I mean, I sure did preach a good one this morning.
Yeah.
How did church service go? Oh, it went well. Boy, I sung so beautiful. You want me to tell you how I know that? Hey, you don't get middle-aged in on this. Somebody start talking and you'll say, yeah, boy, I tell you when I played baseball or football.
Yeah.
Remember that home run I hit that time? You've got to say it. You've got to say it. You've got to. You know why?
Yes.
Because you've got to build an image.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And that's all they were before men. Listen, a world is stupid.
Absolutely.
Do they think a man riding around the golf cart with a robe on and a backward collar and what he says is God? That's all an image. It's a religious image that people fall after and they say, oh, that's the Father. He ain't my Father. God's my Father. Why, some of you get aggravated if I didn't even wear a tie. Oh, we ain't got a tie on. I'm wearing it because I feel like that's what God wants me to. It's not to build an image. Amen. But that's what they did. He said, beware of that. Beware of the scribes that won't appear before men and get an image and get worshipped. When you won't worship and when you won't look up to, and you know some men's like that. I want my wife to worship me. We get there, brother.
Yes, sir.
Them little old grandchildren, you know, that's not mine.
Yeah.
I mean, buddy, I don't worship them, but I tell you what, I love them a lot.
Amen.
When you have got to set up an image, and you are setting one up one way or another, but it ought to be Christ's image through us, people ought to see Jesus in us.
Amen.
You know why them young boys wear the hat backwards? Get an image. You know why they ain't got sense enough to pull their pants up? Image. You know why they join gangs and clubs? Image. But they don't realize it's satanic. And it's not of God. Amen. I want to tell you I love you. I appreciate this church. And I thank God for people that just don't want to be a image, to show an image. They just who they are. And that's why the Holy Ghost shows up, because the common people heard Him gladly.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Beware of hypocrisy. Beware of covetousness. Beware of religious images. Let's stand.